Yes, g'day everyone. Welcome back to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie for our round 27 NRL preview. Of course, our last one for the regular season, but our coverage will extend all the way to the grand final. Without further ado, a man who needs no introduction, the king around here, the one and only Jacob Wynn. How are you going, man?
Don't know if I'm the king or the jester at the moment. We had a losing round 26, a massive show tonight, round 27. But as always, we face up for the results. So 1 and 2 best bets, lost the mixed matchup, lost the same gamer. We did win the first four of four legs of the Winnieheimer multi. That's in a precarious position going into the final round of the season. We'll touch on that. What a chaotic week it's been. So Sunday night, I did the recap show with Nicole from Wiki, so a special guest there. And we speculated a bit on round 27. And implications, you know, going into the selections. I actually gave an early best bet of Brisbane -5.5, which I'll touch on soon. Then I jumped on Monday and did a bonus pod, which was unannounced. People weren't expecting it, but I just felt like there's so much opportunity, conjecture, and speculation about who was going to get named on Teamless Tuesday. So I shared my predictions as well as my burning questions, angles for punters who wanted to get in before the lineups. I gave a second best bet, which was Dragons +1.5. I'll talk about where that one stands. And I also discussed the advantage punters can gain from correlated bets, including saying, you know, if you like the Melbourne Storm, you could multi them into Penrith, for example. And again, we'll talk about correlation tonight because it's important. And then, as if that wasn't enough, as if people hadn't had enough of me, I went live on Instagram yesterday, just as the team broke after 4 p.m., to do my live and initial reactions to the lists, the biggest surprises, you know, my reactions to the betting markets as well, which I find equally fascinating this time of year. And I'm sorry to say, as the Zane comments there, didn't break well for us at all. The team lists in terms of two best bets that we've currently got and the multi that I had just two legs to go. But, you know, it's still those videos, all my reactions are still available if people are more interested in that. So I'll try not to repeat myself too much because, of course, tonight it's not so much about debating who should or shouldn't be playing. By all means, let us know your thoughts in the comments on that. But it's tonight, my job is to break down the 8 matchups based on what we do know and try and find some attractive bets if we can.
So two best bets already locked in. Am I correct in that?
That's right.
And how many further do you have for us? Let's go straight to it. What are your best bets for round 27?
I've got one more to add, which will give us 3 for the round. So I'll bring it up on the screen. And so the one I'm adding is Dolphins over 4.5 tries. So I like that one because of the news that's come out of the Warriors team, which is they're resting probably the 5 or 6 of the best players, or a couple are unavailable. I feel like when you're missing your key middles, Harris, Fanua Blake, Egan, your hooker as well, and you're missing that ace kicking game, your defense is not going to necessarily travel well. And the Dolphins, you can't trust their defense, but you figure they can throw it around. They've got some attacking weapons. They're at home. They're on the deck at Suncorp there in a daytime game. And so I feel like it'll be hard for the Dolphins to not score a few tries. I'm backing them for 5 or more, $1.80 on Ladbrokes. That's the one I added. Sunday night, I gave out Brisbane -5.5, $1.90 sports bet. I would not advise that currently because, of course, Sunday night, we knew Brisbane was playing for the minor premiership and we thought that Melbourne would send a B team. Well, we got it half right. But as we know, it was quite a surprise that Kevy is equally sitting out all his best stars. And I did say in the Tripod group, you know, back the +12.5, which is still available, a good half an hour after that news, and 10.5 was still available the next day. So if you back that, you've got an awesome middle. However, that was in the forum, not on a live show. So that's not included as an official play, as much as I'd love it to be. You don't know how many people could have got on that in time, I understand. So we're sitting with a not such a great Brisbane line. And then similar for the Dragons, I took the +1.5 at $1.90 on Sportsbet and Better, or $1.91 we see there. And obviously how I felt on Monday, the way I thought the selections would pan out, this would have been an outstanding bet. It's been far from ideal. And I'll get into as well how I see, you know, that game. But what I will say is we've had a couple of catastrophes with Brisbane resting everybody and the Knights naming a really strong side. And yet I'd argue both the best bets are still close to 50-50s to win. So although no one's going to say they were good bets, felt like they had tremendous upside and limited downside. It's just unfortunate we're experiencing the downside. Nevertheless, a chance for all three of those players, I think. But I'd love to hear in the comments as well if there's any other strong players people are spotting out there. I had some other games I certainly lean to as well when we get to match-by-match breakdown.
Yeah, the match-by-match breakdown is really fascinating this round. Almost every game has something on the line here. I don't have any best bets, but I am going to read out the what's at stake, I suppose, for each side this weekend. This is information's courtesy of Channel 9. They put this all together. So for the Sharkies, if they win, they're guaranteed a home final. If they lose, they could still miss the eight, but they need to lose by roughly 6 tries. And the Cowboys and Rabbitohs would need to win by 6 tries. Unlikely, could happen. For the Raiders, if they win, they guarantee themselves a home final. But if they lose, they will miss the finals if the Cowboys win and the Roosters and Rabbitohs game does not end in a draw. For the Rabbitohs, if they win, they'll play finals. Simple as that. If they lose, they're out. They can still make finals with a draw, but they need the Cowboys to lose. For the Cowboys, if they win, they'll play finals, but they need either the Raiders to lose or Souths to lose or draw. They can make it if the Raiders win, but only if it's by a huge, very unlikely score. If they lose, they're out. For the Roosters, if they win, they'll play finals, but they need the Raiders to lose and the Cowboys to lose or draw. Of course, if the Roosters lose, they're out. So that's just a brief summary of some of the importance that is coming up. It's a very, very important round with every game having a lot at stake. Let's we'll go to our predictions in just a second in our preview. But before we do that, let's hear from our good friend Tristan Merlihan, the CEO of Top Sport, with an exclusive market insight.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're into that last weekend of the regular season. I think I say it every year, but I always duck for cover when this weekend rolls around. We had to dodge it last weekend in the AFL and we moved to the league, and I've never seen an NRL final round like this one where, you know, traditionally you might get one or two teams that might rest some players. You've obviously got the teams that are out of contention that are sending players for surgeries, but nearly every game has got some sort of surprise element to what the team lists were on Tuesday. And as a result, it's the first time in a long time that we actually didn't release the markets until we saw what the team lists generated, because I just didn't think there was any point putting up markets. We just had zero confidence. It's like pin the tail on the donkey in terms of what markets we put up. So we waited until the team list. There's been some massive movements with some of the other operators, and, you know, like looking at some of those games, the Broncos Storm, that was one. I think everyone probably had some inclination the Storm players were going to be rested, but I don't think anyone saw the Broncos team list changing the way it has. They're 3.5-point favourites. They were a lot shorter prior to that. Obviously, the big game of the weekend's the Bunnies against the Roosters. But even that, I thought going into last week, the Roosters would be quite firm favourites. But Joey Manu, injury doubt. Jared Weirer Hargraves obviously suspended as well, has tipped the market slightly in the Rabbitohs' favour. Then you've got the Warriors that have rested everyone. The Knights, obviously no Ponga. So you've got some of the sides that are out of contention that are into either favourites or pick him in those games, which I don't think we saw coming. But probably the biggest question mark is on the Panthers-Cowboys game. That's the one where we do see the biggest uncertainty. I think there was probably an opinion that a lot of Penrith might have been rested for this game. They've named a pretty full-strength side. Will that side be the same if the Broncos win the game and wrap up the minor premiership? I tend to think that maybe they still might play a lot of those players, because the extended bench doesn't look conducive to a lot of resting. But we are going to suspend that game when the game starts for the Broncos game as well. We're not accepting any big multis on the Broncos game into the Panthers game for the same reason, because the market's going to move very, very significantly on the back of that either way, I feel. So keep an eye on that market. That one's going to shift dramatically. Obviously, the Cowboys have got a lot to play for as well. If this was just a round 20 game between the two sides and the team list named, the Panthers would be a lot shorter than what they are. But there is some factor of Cowboys' desperation in this game, and we saw what Parramatta could do last week. So plenty to take in. Monitor those team lists. Good luck if you're having a punt, and of course, do it responsibly.
And I think Tristan makes a great point there in terms of monitoring the team lists. 24 hours before teams must cut their reserves and only have two, and then 1 hour before kickoff, you must name your final lineup. for those that are interested from that perspective. Let's jump into our game.
Well,
by game.
The other point I just wanted to re-emphasize that Tristan made there was that TopSport's not going to accept big multis for the Storm Broncos outcome into the Panthers Cows. If they don't want you to do that, it's because it's in favor of the punter. And I did go into that on Monday. I'll touch on it again, the power of a correlated multi in the punter's favor. Whichever direction you see the game. So I already said on Monday, you go Brisbane into North Queensland or you go Storm into Panthers. As far as I know, not every other bookie is savvy enough to stop it. So definitely a way that you can attack it and bring some power back to the punters in these uncertain times.
By way of interest, have you ever offered a multi as an outright best bet?
I don't think I have, but you know, it wouldn't be crazy if you went two teams that were, you know, short-ish head-to-head, you could get a price in the range of $1.90. Or I was even thinking of I was thinking of combinations this week. I will say that much. I didn't quite get there, but good question.
Came very close. Let's jump into this Thursday night banger. It's the Broncos v Storm at Suncorp Stadium, and the Broncos are -3.5 favorites. Stay with me here, guys. For the Broncos, Walsh, Farnworth, Cobbo, Mann, Walters, Haas, and Capewell are all rested. Reynolds and Carrigan is out injured, and Katoni Staggs is suspended. For the Storm, they're without Nick Meaney, Seve, Coates, Munster, Welch, Naz, Kamakamitha, Eisenhuth, and Trent Liero. Grant and Hughes are also injured. Two bonuses for them. Pappenhausen starts at fullback, and Justin Olam returns at centre. Final point on these team lists from me, Winnie. Blake Moser and Jack Howarth are both named for their respective sides to debut via the interchange. And these are two of the most highly touted rookies that I've seen in my time covering the sport. People are really high on these guys. The Storm have a really good record against the Broncos, especially at Suncorp. Can they extend it here? Or do you think this new-look Broncos side will kind of break that curse?
Well, it's a hard game to pick on its own merit with all those players you named that are out. So 11 regular first teamers out for Brisbane, 11 out as well for the Storm. But the added X factor you mentioned, Pappenhausen comes in and is most likely going to play a full game at fullback. Again, going back to the play on Sunday, you know, the logic was obviously there that it was quite likely that Melbourne would do something like this. No real advantage between being third or fourth. You don't even know who your opponent's going to be. Whereas Brisbane got handed the opportunity to win the minor premiership by virtue of that Parramatta upset and playing at home. And Melbourne are a rival that, how many years or games in a row they've had the
got
wood over the Storm?
Next. It's
oh, you've
crazy.
Got that to share. Yeah, it's mind-blowing as well. And what an opportunity to break that. However, even from, and I, you know, obviously I tipped Brisbane on Sunday and I tipped Dragons on Monday. But, and I want to say, like, how crazy is it that the Knights have nothing to gain? They've named near full strength. Penrith most likely has nothing to gain. They've named a full strength side. And yet you got Brisbane, who's playing for the actual minor prem, and they've named, you know, basically nobody. I got the worst of both worlds with my tips. And another point here is that we've played 27 rounds of this season, right? We got a home team in front of a big crowd with a chance to finish top of the ladder for the entire regular season, and they're resting everyone. Like, this is uncharted territory. This is pretty radical. We've seen teams rest before, but we've never seen someone completely devalue the minor premiership. Look at other big sporting competitions in the world, and many of them finishing top of the ladder at the end of the home and away season is the ultimate prize. But Brisbane obviously values the being fresher and eliminating the chance of an injury or suspension to these, you know, 10 or 11 guys is going to trump securing the silverware. They could still get it all. They could still win. They're still favourites. So they could still get the minor prem. And then you'd have to say it was a genius move. And despite the fact it's gone against my bet, I respect it and I understand it. And it is what it is in these days. We remember the premierships and we value them so much more highly than any minor prem. So I've always been of the belief you make every decision in the regular season to do what gives you the best chance to win the grand final. And usually the best chance of winning the grand final is winning regular season games because you get higher on the ladder. There's rewards in almost every tier of the ladder. But the fact is the difference between being first or second, especially this year where there's no clear distinction between the threat of third or fourth, it's not a striking difference. So you can actually respect Kevy for having that, the fortitude here and making that chess move. And it's likely, well, there's a fair chance that this could be the exact same rematch in the finals, in week one of the finals, you know, 8 days later. Now I get to this game. I have to say that these squads that they've named, with all the names you listed of who's out, there's still a fair few good players playing. Like 15 of the 17 for Brisbane have all played meaningful first grade. You still got the likes of Flegler and Ricky. And for Melbourne, it's very similar. Majority, just about all of them, have played a handful, if not more, more experience in first grade. And have still got some strong players in there. And what it does set up for is a competitive game. It's not what you want when you've backed -5.5, but it'll be compelling viewing. And when I looked at teams up and down, I couldn't find much between them at all. I'm looking at the spines thinking, who's going to make that play that wins this game? And, you know, Madden's probably the most experienced half in this game. I like Wishart. Sorry, Wishart's a running threat, but I like Smoothie against his former side. Could be key there. Tristan Saylor's filled in really well when called upon. But you got Pappy. The stage is kind of set for him to announce his return to first grade. He obviously got a little cameo last week, so that does scare me. In conclusion, you know, I don't see either team having a big advantage, but I got Brisbane at home. I still have them more motivated, more to play for. If you haven't backed this game yet, I still lean to Brisbane -3.5 and still think they'll win for those keen, you know, for your tipping comp if you're in the hunt in your final round.
This to me was a really, really tough one to break down. You know, typically when you look at a breakdown, you go to recent form. It's kind of out the window with such new sides here. Then you go to both sides, and there are a lot of question marks over how certain combinations will look. Not so much the experience. You've got a lot of experienced players coming back in here, but it is the question mark around how does the combination look. For example, the Broncos halves. We just don't know what to quite expect there. Now, I'm on the Rugby League project. It's a great site for data at the moment. The last win for the Broncos over Melbourne was in August of 2016, and that was down in Melbourne. So that means the Storm have won 13 games straight against the Broncos, and the Broncos have not beaten the Storm at Suncorp since 2009. Very, very damning stats. The Broncos' home record has also fallen away as of recent. They are 2-4 at home. But despite this, I actually think this is a baby Broncos side that probably don't even know about that record, let alone fear it. There's a lot of energy around Broncos headquarters right now. This is a club that is set to return to finals that only a few seasons ago had fans throwing wooden spoons at their clubhouse under some horrible seasons for the club. I feel like these young kids are going to have a ton of energy. Not only that, Winnie, I feel for these young kids that this minor premiership will genuinely be made up as Kevin Walters to be their premiership. Because for a lot of these guys, they're either going to go back to reserve grade or their season's done at reserve grade level. What history would be for these young guns and how great it would make them feel to come in here, win this game, have the minor premiership presented to them. I think Kevy can pitch this. Guys, this is your grand final. You guys are a part of the club history if you go out and win this game. Whereas for the Storm, Bellamy's kind of like, well, like, go out and do your best, boys. But if you lose, it doesn't change anything for our season. We are purely focused on next week. So I think the Broncos have the mental edge here. I'm not prepared to break the game down too much further with the bulk team changes. But I'd feel comfortable tipping Broncos -3.5 and certainly Broncos head-to-head in this one. I think it'll be a really, really exciting contest despite the changes. Friday night, 6 p.m. I probably can't say the same thing, unfortunately. It's the Tigers v. Eagles. We're at Four Pines in Manly's home ground, and they do open as -12.5 favourites. They welcome back Dean Madison. Tuilagi is out. For the Tigers, Twal and Simpkin return, but they do have two huge losses, guys. No Utu Ikemanu and no John Bateman. Appy Korosau moves back to halfback. Not sure I like that, but how's this one, Winnie? Josh Felity, he makes his NRL debut. A quick word, if I may. And Harold Matz for the Manly Seagulls in 2021, he scored 6 tries in a game. He then moved to the Tigers and was named Centre of the Year at SG Ball. The Seagulls did not want to lose him. He was their captain at Harold Matz level. They thought he was a really great leader. And he's only played 2 New South Wales Cup games this year, but he did score in both of those. So all indications are we've got a really young, talented player here. Onto the game, though. Nothing but pride on the line in this one. Do you think the Tigers can give their fans something to smile about and put somewhat of a positive note on an otherwise horrid season, or are you going Manly here?
Well, this is the thing. Can the Tigers match the Manly intensity? You probably, if you didn't mention it yet, you probably were going to say it's Jake Todorovic, the beloved Jake Todorovic, 200th game in Maroon and White. And I think, you know, milestones can be a factor through the year, but in a game where there's really nothing else at stake and you're at home, it's definitely a big factor. I will say, you mentioned the young fella on debut, but there's Riley in the centres too. He's got a bit about him. So there's been some bright lights for West this year, you know, in a year where they will pick up another wooden spoon. They've unearthed some young talent. And again, they weren't that far away from the Roosters a week ago. The scoreline did kind of blow out. But if you're being kind to West, you could say that's now 7 games in a row they've at least been competitive, which is what you want from a team, especially if you're catching a double-digit line. Manly was more than competitive. They blew the Dogs away. Painful for my best bet. I'll commend their ability to get up after that tough New Zealand trip and loss, but I will caveat that win by saying the Dogs were a disgrace and the Dogs would have probably lost to any of the other 16 teams. The comps are, you know, let's not get carried away. You mentioned Bateman, Yuto Kamanu are out, right? Look, the line is still steep to me. And, you know, Garrick's out for the season, right? You've got Kohler, who he's a double fullback. He looks good in the big wins because he's got speed to burn. And against poor defense, you know, you're not going to lose much getting this guy the ball in space. And that could be the case in a game like this. You know, in fact, you say that about Manly. A lot of their players, they look really good when the going is good because they are kind of front runners. So when they're a double-digit favourite, that's actually a good spot to back them. And I can see Luke in the comments likes them and said he got them even before the line crept out to double digits. But, you know, can Benji get West up one last time? And then, you know, will Manly really step up? Because I feel like Manly shouldn't necessarily overwhelm West with talent. And if it's a close game, then we'll see what Manly's really made of and we could actually get an exciting duel in the halfback positions between DCE, who was outstanding last week, and of course Appy there. I don't mind the move for what it's worth because I think Simkin is a pretty good above average backup hooker. So again, it's like it comes down to the question you asked me: can West match the intensity? Can West get up for this? Because if they don't, although the line may be inflated, it won't be enough.
DC was my player of the round last week. He was unstoppable. I'll give my preview in just one moment. I want to go back to the previous game for one moment, if I can, please. Colt actually has what I think is a really good bet here. He says, I've got to go the total unders of 43.5 as there'll be a total lack of cohesion. And then John Pierce on Facebook, he actually wanted to know from you, are you leaning towards the unders in games with so many new players? I just wanted to get your thoughts on that from a punting perspective.
Look, I like the angle that you don't have the combinations, but, you know, combinations count for something defensively too. And I just think when you got questionable motivation, like although Brisbane definitely wants to win, I'm with you talking about the way they can look at this game and wanting to win. And I'd play Brisbane rather than playing unders because when you got, obviously these games are not must win because these teams aren't naming their strongest side. So how desperate is everyone, you know, to make cover tackles, to make goal line stands. And this is the difference between a game going over or under is really, you know, not giving up the soft tries. And this time of year, you do get some games that can be higher scoring than usual. So I have not been big to weigh in on totals at all this season. It is hard to judge and it can be so sensitive as it is, but it's even tougher to pick in end of the round. So I can't you know, give you anything too concrete there. Sorry.
Yeah, and from an analysis perspective from myself, John, I agree. The total is really hit and miss. And you, if you're building same-game multis, you can get that value elsewhere, I believe. I've given out a few good bets or a few good tips this year, but then I just threw the total over or under in and ruined the whole bet. So I'm not too keen on them at this stage either. Onto the Manly Tigers game. I have to tip Manly here. But I'm not really interested in that line. I just think there's too many question marks around what Tigers side we get and how influential Benji Marshall can be. Last time these sides met, there was that sort of altercation, which almost carried onto the dressing sheds. For those that don't know what happened, so this is all alleged. So Josh Aloyer told Brendan Wakeham, come into the Manly sheds, let's punch on, or something to that effect, or let's fight, or let's talk it out, because Brendan Wakeham said something to Samuel Fainu on the field regarding his brother who's in jail, all allegedly, all reported in the media. pretty hectic for a game of NRL. And I will say, it's a shame none of these players are involved here in this game, because there could have been some genuine fireworks, especially because Sammy was heading to the Tigers next year. It would have been really, really interesting. Could have been a Spencer Lanoue, Jared Warrior Hargrave situation, I thought. But yeah, onto this game. I think DCE will absolutely prove the difference again. A halves combination of Api Corrissau and Dane Laurie, for me, brings a lot of excitement to your sets and a lot of spark, but it probably lacks composure, it probably lacks control, and most notably, it lacks a good kicking game, which we know DCA has in abundance. Tigers are a tough side. They'll put the effort in like they do most weeks, but effort alone probably isn't enough to get them home here with the class of their roster in comparison to the Seagulls. So I have to favour Manly. I'm going to say DC is a difference again, but I don't feel too strongly on this one, Winnie. We will get into the Friday night game in just one moment. This one is an absolute blockbuster. And don't forget, every week we'll be cooking up a same game multi thanks to Betr. Our Betr sign-up link is in the show description here live, and if you were listening as a podcast. And of course, if you do sign up, make sure to message the Tripod page on Facebook and let us know. But before you sign up to any bookie, think, what are you prepared to lose today? Set a deposit limit for free and confidential support. Call the number or visit the website on screen. Those details are also available if you were listening as a podcast. This one is an absolute ripper, Winnie. Let's dive straight into it. Rabbitohs v Roosters, Friday, 8 p.m., Accor Stadium. The line was geared 9.5 in favor of the Roosters earlier today. It's now gone to a pick'em. The Roosters welcome back James Tedesco. Joey Manu is named despite a hamstring injury. I'm not confident he'll play. Jared Warrior-Hargraves is out for 7 games. For the Rabbitohs, Latrell suspended, so Taff moves to fullback. Isaac Thompson is on the wing for Tane Milne. Both sides have to win here, Winnie, to give themselves a crack, as we read out at the start of the show. How do you see this one? Can you see this one spilling over late like it did last time these sides met?
Oh, you know there'll be lots of emotion. I'll address a couple of questions in the comments. They weren't questions I had, unless I'm missing something. Ryan says, if Teddy's playing, I can't see why Roosters are underdogs. Big if, though. Followed by Drunken Boxing says, is Teddy playing? But for me, he's definitely playing. It was just that the stand down for the HIA. So he's probably going to be one of the fittest and freshest blokes on the field. There's no doubts about Teddy, as far as you know, right?
Not that I've seen, no.
The big doubt is Joey Manu, who had the calf strain or potential tear. I suppose if it's definitely a tear, he's not playing. But whether he does line up and whether he can be effective, that's huge. Obviously, Teddy will be back at fullback, but you would want Manu in the centres. So hopefully that clears that up. So there's some big names that are out of this game, you know, Shaw. And, you know, in fact, there's a lot of big names out this round. But let's just stand back and appreciate that. We've got Rabbitohs Roosters, round 27. It's a play-in to make the finals. Yes, as you outlined at the start of the show, there's an asterisk for the Roosters that they'll need one more event to go their way. But we shouldn't be complaining. This is going to be intense. We've got Souths off a bye and under some serious scrutiny, or certainly they have been the last fortnight. Well, it's been building up and it it boiled over. I mean, we even dedicated a whole segment last week to South's woes. And how deep-seated some of these reported issues truly are is the big question. Can you solve some of these problems in 12 days? You know, we're going to learn a lot about South's once we see them play this week. How much we know going in, whether we can find a bet, that's another story. You mentioned, of course, no Latrell. Taff's a handy backup. Totola and Selle both joining the team in round 25 gives you confidence they definitely should be right now. They've returned from injury and off the bye plenty of time. And Arrow's been playing busted, so similar sort of thing. But really everybody benefits from a bye this time of year, especially the Rabbitohs, who had been on the road for this now ill-fated trip around Australia. You know, what's the biggest criticism that I've laid on Souths? It's lack of urgency, it's lack of desire, lack of desperation. Well, here you have win and in, lose and out proposition. You're playing your most bitter rival. If there's ever a game that Souths should get up for, it's got to be this one, right? As for the Roosters, I think Teddy being forced to stand down last week because the head knock is probably beneficial. As I said before, it comes in fresh. you know, I said West gave Roosters a bit of a fright, but it was comfortable enough in the second half, so it wasn't too taxing. Yes, Warrior Hargraves is suspended, but he hasn't been his best this year. The Manu injury, the biggest concern to me, although a couple of other outside backs, I feel like Suali'i has really come on strong in, you know, coinciding with this winning streak for the Roosters, and others like Billy Smith as well. So there's still a bit of threat out there for the Roosters. And you've got to say they come in with the more positive momentum and form. You know, Souths were top of the ladder, I think, after round 12. Look at them now in, what are they, eighth, I think, right? And a chance to miss. Where Chooks were like the opposite. They were like 14th off the top of my head. And winning three straight, coming into this one, big chance to make the finals. Sam Walker returned last week. Another guy you got to talk about is Lindsay Collins. We all talk about Haas and Fanua Blake. I feel like Collins is not far away from being a top echelon prop. So if you want to back the Roosters, and I'm very interested to see who people say, let us know in the comments who you're taking for this, because there you go. It's a pure pick'em. So you can make a case for either. Are you going Roosters or South? So I think if you're going Roosters, you kind of know what you're getting more so. And you're also probably banking on the Rabbitohs being slightly broken or at least damaged goods by this point. However, if you're going to back Souths, you go back to the reasons I said before, that they've had that time off, the talent is there. And if I have to pick it, I would pick Souths, but I won't quite go down with the ship because, you know, I've been on them for a best bet just about every week the last 5 weeks with only one win among there, amongst those. But for me, probably the decisive factor would be the forward pack. You know, that South's middle rotation is now stronger. If you look at who's on the South's bench, I just feel like that just keeps coming at you and it could overwhelm the Chooks by the end. Cam Murray has just signed another big extension and he could be the kind of player that leads South Sydney to a win and into the eight. And I still couldn't write the Bunnies off if they get into the eight. Of course, Latrell would then rejoin the team next week. So while I'm not tipping them, because I think it is anyone's game and it's going to be an absolute barn burner and I just prefer to not stick my neck out, the fact that I'm not on Souths probably makes it even more likely that they'll put it together this week and win.
I completely agree with you. I really don't have a pick for this game because you can break it down with positives and negatives for both sides. I go back to round 12. You're right. The Rabbitohs were in second, but they did have the equal first most wins. Panthers were ahead because of a bye, but the ladder was so close to that stage when they lost round 13 and dropped all the way to fifth. Whereas the
and they also don't were... they don't award the bye points till the end of the round, so you could technically say Rabbitohs were top like momentarily.
Yeah, you could. And the Roosters at that stage were 10th or 11th, and from there their season continued to go down. But they've shown great resurgence. Both sides in recent weeks, their discipline hasn't quite needed to be where it is. Particularly, you could say around the Latrell Mitchell and Jared Warrior Hargraves, who just got suspended at the wrong time when both their sides really needed them as leaders. I could see a world here, and if you want an official prediction, this probably is my prediction for the game, where the final 10 minutes here gets really ugly, especially if either side is comfortably ahead. The sort of game where, you know, the referee's blowing his whistle every tackle, saying players are going to go to the sin bin, giving out those warnings, etc. With both sides missing key players here, it's a real flip of the coin. I want to lean the way of the Roosters due to their momentum, but then I do wonder how much were the Rabbitohs able to reset on the bye round? Was the bye round a godsend for them? Because they looked pretty busted prior. But then we have to consider, whilst the bye round's been happening, they've lost their assistant coach, Sam Burgess. Some reports say he was overstepping his mark. Other reports say the whole team loved him. So it's really hard to know how that affects them as well. This rivalry has meant more to the Rabbitohs in recent games. They've won 5 of their last 7 against the Roosters. So I guess if I absolutely, like, gun in my head, have to give a pick here, I'm going to lean with the Roosters because I just think this Bunny side has one win over a top 8 side since round 10. I think that was the Warriors game over in New Zealand. So I do think there's a little bit of optimism to say that suddenly they've turned around the bye round, they're ready to go again, they're going to get a win over a side that's close enough to the top 8 in the Roosters. But in the same sentence, Winnie, I've got to acknowledge, if any side can turn it around and suddenly flog the Roosters, or anyone for that matter, it is the Bunnies, which is why it's just so hard to give a prediction. I'll lean with the Roosters, but if I get it wrong, I don't want to be shot for that tip, that's for sure. Let's jump into a game we've got a best bet on. It's the Dolphins v Warriors Saturday afternoon. We're at Suncorp Stadium, and the line is set at -4.5 in the Dolphins' favour. who welcomed back their skipper, Jesse Bromwich. Josh Kerr's out suspended. For the Warriors, CNK, DWZ, AFB, Sean Johnson, and Wade Egan are all rested, and Metcalf and Tohu Harris are out injured. Dolphins enter as favourites here, Winnie, which hasn't been the case for a lot of this year. You've got a best bet on them to score plus 4.5 tries. Their average this year is 3.7 tries per game. But you have to think, with so many outs for the Warriors here, the Dolphins should show up. What do you expect from this game?
Yes, so that's right. The Finns haven't been favourites in many games. If they're averaging more than, you know, if they're averaging close to 4 tries a game, I feel like they can find a fifth one in a game where they are a rare favourite. And they're a favourite thanks to Webster's decision to rest Sean Johnson along with 4 other key Warriors and then a couple others who, you know, were legitimately injured, like Metcalf and Tohu Harris. Definitely rightfully makes the Finns favourite in this one. And just on the selection decision there, you know, I did say this in my live recap, it would be a tragedy if Johnson misses the Dally M by a handful of votes, because you can pick up to 6 votes in a game. But, you know, we don't know. He could be far enough ahead that he's already got that signed, sealed and delivered. And it's been such a great year for the Warriors. But going back to what I said about Brisbane, like, in years to come, Warriors fans won't really remember this as a great year unless it concludes with some finals wins, I think. So, you know, you couple that with the carnage that was injuries and suspensions last round. And it's not a coincidence that more of these happen later in the year when there is so much attrition. So I said before, I'm in the camp of with Kevy of resting. So therefore, I understand the decision by the Warriors, despite the fact they put their seven game winning streak on the line here. And it could be snapped by the Dolphins, who welcome back their captain and influential leader, Jesse Bromwich. I know that the Finns were way off the pace against the Cowboys, but they will get that additional chance in front of home, you know, season members and other home fans to cap what's been a great debut year, no matter how you spin it, with a win. And the win will be no less sweet for the Finns' perspective, just because the Warriors are under strength. So I do regret not pulling the trigger, because I was really close to that plus 1.5 when they were a slight underdog on Monday. But again, like, you could have easily thought that the Warriors could name a stronger side here. They had their reasons. I think more so than Penrith, who may play for nothing, or Newcastle, who do play for nothing. Look what happened. Those sides named stronger squads than what the Warriors did. So it was hard to judge. It's, you know, obviously easy to say in hindsight, and I'm still getting at the Dolphins via the team total angle. If anyone's wondering, let's just make this point. If Brisbane wins on Thursday, New Zealand knows they're facing Penrith no matter what. Mm-hmm. If the Storm have won on Thursday, New Zealand likely plays Penrith with a loss, but plays Brisbane with a win. So, you know, do people want to use that in their betting calculations? I guess the only way you use that into your calculations would be if you believe that there's a preference there for the Warriors. Like, would they prefer to play Penrith with no Luai, but Brisbane's more rested as well? Although I think you could also say the Warriors will get a lot more support at Suncorp, and Penrith's still the benchmark of the last multiple seasons. So for me, I can't really see that the Warriors would be worried about who they play. It's just somebody might say, could there be a scenario where New Zealand wants to lose? So that is a risk if you take New Zealand. Not something that I see, but just addressing the implications from a couple of days earlier. As I said, I'm on the Finns to win in daytime conditions, to run 5 tries in or more. Defensively, you can't rely on the Dolphins, so I didn't want to lay the line, but I just feel like there's no reason not to go out this season, guns blazing. And New Zealand may try play conservatively and keep these strong defensive habits ahead of the finals, but without your hooker, your lock, your best prop, your ace kicking game, it's hard to remain defensively sound. And I think the Wires could equally unlock the shackles. You got like this exciting live wire, Tua Picky at the back. Like, they could come in and play a bit more carefree and it could go overs. And New Zealand could win, and we could still have a chance of winning our bet. That's why I've gone in this direction with the Redcliffe Kings.
And I'm scrolling through the Redcliffe's season at the moment. Every time they've played on a Saturday, they have scored most times a fair amount of points. They've hit 32, 30, 28, 23. So you are right about the conditions there. They definitely are a side that seems to score more points, which would make sense, I suppose. But on Sean Johnson, I want to go to him actually quickly before I go on. When the Dally M went behind closed doors, I've kept my own leaderboard. Instead of giving 6 points every round, I've only given three because the six comes from two judges. It is interesting because a suspension does take away 6 points for you. But I've got Sean Johnson on 42 points right now and Nicho Hynes on 39. So Sean Johnson in my predicted Dally M has won it. It's just a matter of whether he'll share it with Nicho if Nicho has a five-star performance. Don't agree with it. That's the way the
Dally M system works. How close is Kalyn Ponga? Is he within shouting distance?
No, he's not. He's on 27 points,
yeah,
which
okay.
is equal 10th.
The floor, which you said, the floor in the way you've done it, is the reality is Ponga was getting six votes every week and you would have only been giving three. And great. Johnson's got a lot of sixes and you've only done three. But even if we add like 15 points to Ponga, well, they've won seven in a row. So give him like potentially an extra 20 points, 15 to 20 points. It still only just gets him near Johnson. And then, of course, Johnson would have more votes. So I take your point there that Johnson's probably won the Dally M anyway and deservingly so. Yeah.
Another one that would be close is Reece Walsh on 37 and Drinky on 34, but they're suspended. So it just, yeah, I don't agree with Nicho Hynes winning it with SJ. I think he's clearly been better this year, but that's the way the Dally M system works. But as I have it, SJ is our Dally M winner for 2023. Onto this game here. On one hand, and I'm so split on this, I think plus 4.5 is good for Warriors sometimes. And then I think Dolphins 1-12 is really good as well. Warriors seem like they're due a loss, and a loss before finals isn't always a bad thing, as we've seen in previous seasons. A win here would be 8 in a row, which they've only ever done once before in their club history. And so you just think, does that build a bit too much pressure heading into the finals that they're now looking for history every single game, extending that winning streak? For the Dolphins, I can't sugarcoat it. They have lost 10 of their past 11 games. The effort's been there in the losses. They just haven't been able to get the job done, which is why I look to Warriors plus 4.5. Dolphins wins over top eight sides this year have come over the Raiders, Knights and Sharks. And I am wary that this Warriors side named probably isn't a top eight side on paper. So I kind of do discard that stat a little bit. And I do wonder, does Wayne Bennett get this side and say, hey, boys, we started our inaugural season with a bang in a game no one expected us to win. Let's finish it with a bang as well. The venue they do play very well at as well. Suncorp, in my opinion, is a big advantage for the Dolphins. Whereas for the Warriors, and this could play into what you were saying there as to who they play winning, they are 1-7 in recent games at Suncorp. So maybe they would prefer a trip to BlueBet Stadium, as strange as that sounds. But yeah, I'm really on the fence here. I'll go Dolphins 1-12. But I'm very close to doing it the other way with the Warriors too. But I'll give a tip. Dolphins 1-12 for me. I'll give them that there. Panthers v Cowboys. Saturday Arvo footy again. We're at BlueBet. Minus 10.5. The line sits in the Panthers' favour. Luai is out, so Cogger moves to the Haas. Haas, Sonia Tariba, Dylan Edwards and Scott Sorensen all return for the Cowboys. No changes. Now, how do you see this one? It's a tough one to break down, right? Because it could really change what happens on the Broncos game. So the floor is yours. Tell us everything you're thinking with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've kind of broken it down to scenario A and B. This is the game we've spoken about on the pod for weeks, haven't we? And again, North Queensland will get into the eight if they win. If the Roosters won the night before, that's a finals trip booked. However, if Souths won the night before, North Queensland wins and gets in the eight and then become the Sharks' biggest fans. And the Sharks are solid favourites on Sunday. And North Queensland's named the same 17 that got it done that has them in this position to keep their season alive against the Finns. So you have to believe, from a Cowboys perspective, they're going down to Penrith and they're going to throw the kitchen sink. And even if Penrith had a few out, they would be foolish to take the opponent lightly. And as it stands, Penrith could be naming near full strength, as you said. Obviously, no Luai. And I'll talk about whether any others could be out. So the Cowboys know they've got to be at their very best just to have any chance. So let's look at it more from a Panther perspective. And let's start with if Melbourne win on Thursday, because that would then mean the minor premiership is up for grabs, and the strongest team they could name has been named, and they'll just think, you know, let's go out and win another one of those Shields. The argument for not resting players is that every rep player in the Panthers team has already gotten multiple rests this year, because Ivan was able to rest after Origins on multiple occasions. You know, Nathan is so important, but he's fresh because he had that layoff at the hammy. Cogger will only improve with more games to integrate. And Penrith knows that, you know, they, if they win this game, well, regardless of the outcome of this game, if remember, this is if Melbourne has won, you get that win. And although you're going to spend a bit of extra energy in doing so, you know that if you win the next week, you get the second week of the finals off. And it's going to be in Penrith. And Penrith certainly feels they're going to win both those games. Only other thing I would say, though, if Melbourne gets the win, you cannot assume that Penrith will still play full strength on Saturday, just because they're so confident in their abilities and these games still are not as important, as evidenced by the decision Brisbane's made, as the game the next week. So what I'm getting at is Penrith might have one or two key players who are 50-50 and who could still get pulled out, just because they'll be confident enough they could win anyway. As Tristan noted, the line would definitely increase if Melbourne wins as well. I would guess it could be 14.5. Move something like 4 points if the motivation is locked in, on top of the intentions that we see with the squad that's named. However, that was if Melbourne wins, but Brisbane's still favourite for what it's worth. I still think Brisbane wins. That would mean Penrith are locked into seconds. That would mean Penrith plays for nothing. And although they've named the best 17 they can this week, they could rest up to four players. And suddenly, the likes of Dylan Edwards, Crichton, Fisher Harris, Martin, others could be out. And I could see the line coming back in, certainly single figures, maybe around a converted try if Penrith opted to drop three or four out, which I have to believe would be the smart move and would be in the back of their mind. So that would certainly give the Cowboys that greater chance. And that's, you know, that's your second scenario. So hard to handicap this game without that information. That's why I still go back to play it as a multi, play Brisbane into Cowboys or play Storm into Penrith. And it can be, you know, at the line as well. Can the Cowboys just win it? They're the type of side that's got upside. Because, you know, Drinkwater, if he could play mid-season form, Dearden, Robson have tasted rep experience. Cotter won the Wally Lewis medal after all. I have to mention what a disastrous decision it was to challenge that high shot by Val Holmes. So I'm never winning that. He'd be available here if they had taken the early plea. And just to make it clear, because people might think that I should want to be on the Cows, because I put them as the last leg of my Winnieheimer multi, which is 12-1. I set that multi up and I picked the Cowboys as a final leg as an underdog to beat Penrith, with all the preceding results giving the best chance for Penrith to rest players. However, it was still only a chance. And I am surprised, because last year Penrith rested everyone in round 26 and lost by 30 and went on to win the comp. You know, they've been here before. I can understand the argument people will say, don't want to lose two in a row, you know, get the reps with Cogger, sure. I am surprised. I don't agree with the call. And we still may not get a full-strength Penrith. As I said, for the Winnieheimer, it involves Brisbane winning. So we're still going to be in the best position we could be, but it's just that now Penrith has named such a strong side that's definitely worked against us. I'm not going to play the line. I don't see an advantage playing the line now. I think you have to link it with Broncos Storm with a bookie that's going to let you. You know, you could play North Queensland and you could take the double-digit line now and you could say, well, it doesn't really matter about Penrith, because the fact is, well, you know the Cowboys will be motivated. But if there's any team that can take away your will, it is Penrith playing in Penrith.
Not only does the Thursday night game play into this, the question mark is, does Coggan need another game next to Cleary? Can the Cowboys turn up under pressure, because they didn't against the Titans to extend their winning streak and lock in finals? They didn't at home for Tamalolo's 250th. And so there's just so many question marks around this game that In terms of like valuable analysis I could give for our listeners right now, I'm not sure there is too much, because what I could say here could be completely irrelevant by the time this game kicks off. No doubt Cowboys need to win here. Let's say Broncos do win, then Panthers probably don't care too much other than maybe coming into the finals on a two-game losing skid, which, again, I don't think they would care too much there. It's just so tough. Like, on one hand, I think I'm on the Broncos, so why not take Cowboys plus 10.5? That way you still give yourself a chance for Cowboys to win as an outside. But if not, if Penrith do withdraw their stars, then you've got something there. But I don't know. One thing I would, I guess, caution people here is don't forget how dominant Panthers are at home. I think their recent record's something like 34 wins out of 37. It's something very, very hectic, and that dates back to 2020. So keep that in mind with anything you do here. But my biggest tip here is honestly just wait, or do it when he said, and make sure you get the best value with a multi if you do lean strongly in the other game as well.
I'll give you a bonus tip for the people tuning in live, right? Like, this would be an example. You asked me, could I multi, like, make a multi best bet? So I'm just doing this like on the fly. So, you know, shop around, but I'll give an example. What have I got here? Okay. For $1.91, Brisbane head to head into North Queensland plus 24.5. Okay. So that's close to a double up. You figure if Brisbane wins, what's the chance that Penrith would still win by more than 24? Because you've got the best likelihood that four Panthers, up to four, could get sat out. And regardless, you're getting North Queensland's best effort. So there's an example how you play one into the other. But you could also go Brisbane win into Cowboys plus 10.5, because it likely comes into a single-digit line. So any kind of combinations like that, I believe you are giving yourself an edge. But you've still got to start off by getting the winning tip on Thursday night. That's easier said than done. So go with your own inclination, with your gut feel there. From what it's worth, I do believe in Brisbane, and you agree with me, Clarkie. But there's an example of how you can multi and then maybe go from not having a strong angle because you don't know the circumstances. Well, pick the circumstances, and then if they play out, you've got the angle and you've got a better price or line too.
And I can see Ryan says as well, at this point, Broncos head-to-head into Cows start. I prefer the Broncos in that one. And if they do win, then I would prefer the Cowboys here. So I think that's another, I think that's the best way to play this one, as a bit of an early best bet, because we just don't know what's going to happen yet. Let's jump into a game that doesn't have anywhere near as much as stake. It's the Dragons v Knights. We're at Sunday night at Nostrada Jubilee Stadium, and the line is set at -1.5 in the Knights' favour. Kalen Ponga is out injured. Jackson Hastings is in reserves. Frizzell, Gagai, and Crossland are all rested. For the Dragons, Jack DeBellin returns. Now, this one probably won't be a blockbuster game, Winnie, but do you have anything here that you're really looking out for? Anything of particular to break this one down?
I'm looking out for our best bet, which, as it happens, is the current consensus line anyway, Dragons, plus 1.5. It made all the sense in the world on Monday. You got the Dragons bringing good nuisance value to end the year. They haven't looked like they're, you know, giving up, folding up. They're at home as well. All the more reason to fight hard. DeBellin's back, and that's important. And Newcastle, nothing to gain. And usually the teams that get the opportunity to rest have earned that by stacking up wins and finding themselves high on the ladder. And then you can maybe rest. Newcastle are outside the top four, but just the way it's transpired, will be locked into fifth or sixth. So what an opportunity. But Adam O'Brien, he has not done what I think is the obvious move and the wise move here. And we would have a line, I believe, 13+, if the Knights had followed Brisbane or Melbourne's line of thinking. And we would still have a line, probably at least a converted try in our favour, if the Knights did something similar to New Zealand and just rested, you know, a handful, say five or six of their best. But in the end, it's only three rested in addition to Ponga out. And you've got Hastings and Fitzy in the reserves. Could AOB be stupid enough to bring them in? You know, I would like to say no, but I can't be sure of his thinking. So let's try and stand back, you know, from an objective standpoint, because, you know, you get emotional when you already are in on one team. I've seen so many arguments, and I love like these passionate arguments in the Tripod group of people saying a team should do this, a team should do that. It's always because they've backed a certain outcome. Like everyone who has Cowboys to make the eight is, you know, mortally wounded and offended by Ivan's decision. But people who are on Penrith for the minor prem are all saying, no, of course they should play. So it's easy to kind of say what you want teams to do. I hate the call genuinely, objectively, because I don't think it gives the Knights the best chance to win in the finals, and you're risking another key player being hurt. But what I will say is there's still 3 days till this game. There could be some people, smart people, getting in AOB's ear. He could see injuries and suspensions occur on Thursday and Friday and start to think, these guys don't need to be risked. So I feel like one or two key Knights could still come out of the team. Yes, I'm hoping that happens, but I believe there's a decent chance that could happen. And that's why I will still lean to the Dragons winning here. Look, I feel like even if the Dragons win, they'll make it painful. They're that type of team. They don't do it easy. And look, the Knights have a decent chance. They've won eight in a row. Let me get it right, as Paul says in the comments. And you still got Miller, good backup. Young, Best, Gamble, Clune, two-time Saifidis, Leo Thompson, Elliott, all named. But I just think they're such a different threat without Ponga. And I will bank on one or two names at least dropping out and St. George getting a narrow win. I think the Knights are so strong that they'll make us earn it. But, yeah, I wouldn't be rushing to play that Dragons best bet. Sorry, just to be clear, it was a great bet on Monday with the upside it had. It's a mediocre bet right now. But if you're thinking about playing St. George, do what Clarkie suggested earlier. Keep your ear to the ground. And the minute you hear that maybe one or two other Knights are sore or 50-50 and could come out, then play that Dragons underdog side, I believe. Like, when it comes to your tipping comp, it may also be one you want to wait till game day, or even that locked-in lineups hour before kickoff before you secure your tip in this, because it's that hard to split at the moment.
And of course, I forgot you had a best bet on this. So we don't cross-reference bets or notes or anything before the show. Everything you guys see here live is as organic as it gets. And I actually am going Dragons here. So thanks for calling it a mediocre bet. I'm only joking. But without Caelan Ponga and Jackson Hastings, I think the Knights lose their main X factor and their main game manager. Now, I'm comfortable this side can win with one or the other missing, but both, I do think that's a considerable gap in this side. For the Dragons, they would be snapping an impressive win streak here, but I believe they can do it at home, in front of their fans, where they've got a great record at home, in a game that matters nothing for them. And that's what makes the Dragons dangerous here. I think they'll really want to end Ryan Carr's time at the club on a high note here. It's just been such a poor season for them that this often happens in round 27. I remember round 26, 2014, Bulldogs went to the grand final that year. My side, the Titans, we were bad that year. We beat them with nothing to play for by a field goal. These upsets always tend to happen on the final round for teams that are locked into the eight versus teams that have nothing to play for. Ben Hunt, I think he's going to have a blinder and score. He has scored in his past four games at this stadium. The Dragons are 4-1 in recent games at Nostrada Jubilee, and the Knights have not won there since 2009, and they're 2-5 recently against the Dragons. Stats say Dragons have a chance here. Given Ben Hunt scored four times in a row at this venue, I'm going to take him to have a blinder and score anytime. I just think if the Dragons are going to win, Ben Hunt's going to have a great game, right? So throwing him in there with that anytime stat makes sense to me. And we've got a mixed matchup. So what have we got there?
That's right, mate. So my best bet of the round, the Dolphins to score over 4.5 tries. So then I'm going to tie that to my next favorite lean, which is still the Dragons as a slight underdog against the Knights. And I'm going to go the team playing in the early day sunshine of the Dolphins at Suncorp to score more tries. Usually the mixed matchup is more points, right? But the Dolphins would have been a favorite to score more points than the Knights. Their team total is like 26 and the Knights there is only about 22. So more tries, there's more risk of losing on a tie. We've got to understand that. But that's why we're getting 225. But I think that the Dolphins can score five tries or more. And I would tend to think the Knights maybe more around the 3 or 4 tries. If St. George plays for 80 in front of their fans, as I said, no Ponga, and potential for one or two other weapons to come out. So simple as that. I think I think better than a 50-50 chance of winning that. 225, pretty juicy odds for the last regular season mixed matchup.
I agree, mate. Kalyn Ponga is the sort of player. You take him out of your side, you don't realize what you had until he's gone. And you look at everything the Knights done on this win streak, everything's come through Kalyn Ponga. Most of their points have come through Kalyn Ponga legitimately. If he's not getting credited for the try assist, he's made a break, that set, or done something. Just him not being there, I think it does bring the Knights back to the pack. And yeah, I'm going to tip the Dragons there. And I like the mixed matchup as well. Let's jump into the Sunday games. It's kicks off at 2 p.m. It's Titans v Bulldogs. We're at Cbus Super Stadium, and the line is set at -11.5 in the Titans' favour, who welcome back Moeki Fotuaika, rather. However, Isaac Liu is out. For the Bulldogs, they are without Tevita Pengai Jr. and Harrison Edwards. How do you think this one, mate? It really is a nothing game of football, respectfully to both sides, but perhaps fans could be treated to something entertaining here at least. What do you take away from this one?
Yeah, it is a good spot for your Titans, who I have to say gave a good account of themselves down in Melbourne with you in attendance, right? Like, the score was 20-18 with 20 yep. to go. Chance yep. to win before it did blow out. Luckily, it did, because we got a winning best bet there. And you get Big Mo back into the team, returning from suspension. But it's a high line. Do we trust the Titans are going to cover a double-digit line? I feel like they'll be doing well, and they'll be happy just to win this by any score line. And I'll be the first to criticize and ask some serious questions about Seraldo and his Bulldogs and their massive lack of heart that's been displayed a few times in recent weeks. I don't want to go against the Dogs here, though, because I don't like backing against the team that's been panned across the media, because I think often it gets overblown, it gets exaggerated, it's built into the market and can actually serve as a motivator to prove the doubters wrong. You know, playing off an embarrassing loss, one chance left this year to save a little bit of face. You're heading into what could be a long off season. There's players who want to secure their spot themselves because, you know, Seraldo might want to put a broom through, and Gus can be temperamental as well. And this is an opponent where, like, you wouldn't, where the Titans aren't going to be way too good for the Dogs. Like, the Dogs have a chance. So it's a game where I could see the Dogs actually winning, which wouldn't surprise me. It would only annoy me after they were so bad last week. So it's another game a bit like Tigers Manly, where I think the line is excessive. But then again, if I'm going to take the start, I have to believe that there's a bit of fight in these doggies. And after being burned a couple of times where they went out on the field and did a doggy doo-doo, I'm just going to leave it. And for your tipping comp, yeah, I would take the Gold Coast.
I have to take the Titans here. Against the Storm, from the 62-minute mark, they scored 18 points. 1 minute before that, Kieran Foran left for a HIA. And the minute before that, Tino left due to calves. So we lost our two main experienced players, our captain and our leader, and Storm go in and do what Storm do with their class. They score 18 points. They put us to the sword. Just like the Panthers game. We were in that contest. We fought hard with a great side there in the Panthers. So for those reasons, I'm really confident we get the job done here. These sides are actually close on the ladder. Bulldogs have 7 wins this year. Titans have 8. Without letting my bias show, I do feel the Titans have shown us a lot more this year than the Bulldogs have. 4 and against does reflect that as well. And if you want my confidence rating, I'm actually at a 9 out of 10. I looked at this game literally a matter of an hour ago for my Titans podcast. We're better in every statistical area. We're better on recent form. I just couldn't find a reason here why the Bulldogs should win. That being said, the Bulldogs did beat us earlier this year, 20-18. Round 27 is an important one for the Titans. So as a club, we have what's called a members appreciation round, where the players all play for the members, and it is a big turnout usually. It's a double header with our women's playing before. And typically our players do really turn up for this round. It started 3 years ago and we've won the last 3 games there. Look, we competed well against Panthers Storm. For 60 minutes, we've shown great fight against the Warriors. We've shown some good things in recent weeks, whereas Doggies probably can't say the same thing. All things considered as well, you look where both sides are at currently. There's so much controversy, noise, and negativity in the media surrounding the Bulldogs at the moment, particularly reports that 8 players want out immediately. Pengai Jr. said, I'll walk out of a $750K contract here. A player is like literally on the verge of suing them because allegedly he was made to wrestle 12 players for turning up late. So all things considered, as a big Titans fan, I would be hugely disappointed if we lose this game. Bulldogs have conceded 40 or more in 6 of their last 9. And I think the Titans are the side where once they start to run away with the game, they can really put their foot down. And they do have great strike in Khan Pereira, David Fifita, etc. So I'll say Titans 13 plus. I'd go as high as Titans 20 plus Winnie. Maybe that's getting to the bias point there, but I'm really confident we'll get the job done here. I really am.
No, you know what? I will say that if the Dogs show the same level of application as they did last week, or, you know, the Knights game comes to mind, you're toast with plus 11 and a half, and the alt line starts to get appealing. Like, you do get extreme scores towards the end of the year. So if you like the Titans, maybe you don't go the $1.90. Maybe you do go an alt line, kind of get 3 or 4 times your money. And at that point, maybe you're into a same game multi, because if you're starting to pick a Titans 20 plus win, there's a few try scorers that you'd feel fairly confident would cross in that scenario too.
And you're so right. You look at the Bulldogs conceding 66, 32, 44, 44, 20, 42, 36, and 42. They are conceding a bulk amount of, the application is just not there. And then you hear reports 8 players want out immediately. The club comes out and said, no, that's not true. It's only 4 players. And then people are like, that still looks pretty bad, man. And they're like, oh, no, it's not any players. It's not any players now. So it's like, well, come on, guys. You got to get your story right. Do 8, is it 4, or is it none? There's just a lot of negativity around it at the moment. So get on the Titans is what I'm saying. No, I'm not saying that. Get responsibly if you do ever bet on the Titans. Let me tell you that for sure. Final game of the round, one that is very important, realistically, depending on results that happened before this one. Sharks, Raiders, PointsBet Stadium, Sharkies minus 9.5 favourites. Nicho Hynes returns, so Matt Mullen shifts back to the bench. For the Raiders, 2 huge, huge holes here in a must-win game. Papa Lee out for the season, won't play again, even for Tola Samoa in the championship later this year. And Corey Horsburgh, unsuccessful to judiciary. He is out suspended. The Raiders simply must win here, Winnie. Otherwise, finals is out of their hands. Can they pick up a win here with 2 of their big stars missing, in your opinion?
Well, just keep in mind, this is the last game of the round. So you say it's out of their hands, but they'll know. They'll know if they need to win or not, right? So they may come in safe, but we can say the winner of this game will host a home final. And that's big, you know, for Cronulla or Canberra. Such a bigger chance of winning than having to go on the road for that game. And the loser won't be at home in the finals. They know for sure, because the Knights are going to get one of those home finals and the winner of this game will get the other one. So we'll have clear motivation on Sunday. What's up for grabs once we know the result of Penrith, North Queensland? It's hard. It's another game. It's hard to break down without knowing that. I'll go back to my advice I gave on Monday. Correlated multi is the way to play this. If you think Penrith wins, you know, over North Queensland, you go Panthers into Sharks. But if you think the Cowboys get the upset, then maybe that just adds the level of desperation for the Raiders and means no key Raiders are going to be withdrawn on game day if they have to win. So a pretty juicy price would be, Cowboys into Raiders if you want to go that way. Personally, I could only touch the Sharks. I've got them coming off an ugly loss, looking to respond, playing at home. Hynes named. You mentioned it. Papa and Horse are big outs. Whiten is questionable, like a questionable decision playing him in the centres, I should say. Not questionable about playing. And surely you're not carrying Croker on the bench again. That's why I lean to Cronulla. And it's, you know, you have to say with the team that Penrith named, the most likely outcome is that Canberra are safe in this one. And do they breathe a sigh of relief? And then just knowing, oh, like we could be out. Oh, no, Penrith saved our bacon. We're in. And then it's just hard to kind of get up. Like, it's a Sunday game ahead of on the eve of the finals. So you're going to have one eye. It's hard to not be looking ahead because you know you're playing a do or die the following week. So I could definitely see Penrith winning and then 1 or 2 Canberra players being withdrawn on game day. But you've got to also say that if Cronulla's got anyone who's 50-50 to play, they could also rest them. And you know, are we 100% sure that Hynes comes back this week? Or is it a case of, oh, no, his calf came up a bit sore in the captain's run kind of scenario? So, look, it actually goes all the way back to Thursday night for this Sunday game. So this is my final piece of advice. if Brisbane's kind of up big, you know, clearly going to beat Melbourne, then maybe you go Cowboys head-to-head right at that point, knowing that maybe Penrith rests a few. And then if Cowboys win, go into Raiders head-to-head. But on the other hand, if Storm looks like they're about to win, then that's a pretty safe multi. Penrith into Cronulla could be. And again, you plan both head-to-head, you get close to a double up there. If any bookies kind of have those games open while Melbourne and Brisbane are playing, that would be a good way to attack it, I believe.
Round 27 is absolute carnage. In amongst that, I did actually miss that Whiten was at centres. I'm looking at the Raiders bench right now. It has two hookers in Pudu and Tom Starling, a centre in Jared Croker, and one rookie prop in Ata Mariotta, compared to the Sharkies that have three middle forwards and a utility in Moylan. I see the Sharks finishing their regular season on a really high note here and punishing the Raiders, who have just really scraped by this season. Their last win over a top eight side for the Raiders, I believe it came in round 13 against the Rabbitohs. Since that, you know, they beat the Tigers by one, edged past the Titans at home, beat the Roosters by two, but their wins that they're just generally getting, but not really in impressive fashion. Whereas for the Sharkies, whilst they have had the moments this year where they couldn't beat a top eight side, etc., they have had a few more higher points and impressive victories than the Raiders, you would say. Raiders have won their past nine over the Sharks. We've touched on that in previous weeks, but I don't think that stat says enough to help them here. I do see the Sharkies winning, and I'd be comfortable if these sides line up as anticipated winning. I think -9.5 is actually good value for the Sharks at home. We saw them at home against the Titans, who competed really similarly to the Raiders in their game, and they pumped the Titans. They're a good side at home. Raiders have just lost their two of their best forwards. I think they could be in trouble here. I'm pretty confident Sharkies put them to the sword. But that will go ahead and do it for our round 27 NRL preview, which just had absolute carnage. As Winnie said, stay tuned to the team list. Consider the multis he mentioned throughout if you're not sold on one result or the other. And just keep your eyes glued to the team list, because it will change based on results as the round goes throughout. From myself, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in for our round 27 NRL preview, and we look forward to seeing you for our recap, which will be following the Raiders Sharks game on Sunday night at around 6:15 p.m. That's all from me. Over to you, Winnie, for the last word that's more famous than Gus Gould's State of Origin one.
The other thing to stay tuned on is the group, because I have not given out any official best bets after we've gone live. I want it to be as easy to follow as possible. But for example, you know, Monday night, yes, I'm telling everyone who's there to listen, Storm +12.5 is definitely, you know, an automatic play, given we know Brisbane's intentions now, you know. So information may come out and I may share advice on bets, and there can be some good bets, and not just me, but plenty of other sharp minds that follow along and are part of the community could find some gems this weekend when there's mayhem. It's crazy to keep up with it all, but it's hard work for the bookies too. So it's opportunities. We've got to look at it from a positive perspective. I appreciate everyone that tuned in. And I do want to say next week's going to be a huge week as well. At this stage, we've got a bonus show, and it could be a doubleheader podcast. At this point, based on guest availability, we might be going 6:30 regular time, myself and Clarkie breaking down these four epic finals matchups. And then 7:30, just a few minutes after we get off the air, I might be live again with a couple of special guests for an overall finals extravaganza with custom markets. So let you know more next week once that's locked in. Best of luck this weekend, whether your team needs to win or you need a result for your multi to win, including the Winnie Heimer, which is I've still got hope for. So let's see how we go. Enjoy the rest of the week and the weekend, guys. And as always, Lego.